Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaVariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Dating Revolution with Heather Jones. Regardless if you're a woman or a man, you're sure to have some laughs and learn a lot on today's show, which is about the benefits and fun that casual dating can bring. You probably aren't going to hear about how to find the one on our show, but you will hear some great commentary and crazy stories. And you'll leave with advice you can put to work today. Now, here's Heather Jones.
Good morning, everyone. Happy Wednesday. I hope you've had a great week so far. Looking forward to the weekend this weekend. I'm very excited for today's show. I've got a guest speaker today, R. Milton Quibner. He's one of the world's leading heterosexual relationship specialists, pre-classical scholar, and senior fellow at the Pataphysical Institute of Northern California. Good morning, Milton. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show today with me.
My pleasure. I've been really looking forward to this.
Good, good. Well, why don't you give our listeners a glimpse of your book?
Well, my book is entitled How High Should I Jump? The Satirical Guide to Pleasing Today's Woman. And it is really, it's a manual for learning to how to get along with today's woman on a humorous level. Really, the thing that I like to do is to make people aware of their foibles, men especially, the issues that they stumble over and have stumbled over. That's kind of my focus on this. And instead of shoving advice down their throat, I take a more humorous, satirical approach to it. Much of the book is devoted toward dealing with men who feel they've been betrayed by modern woman, either sexually or romantically in the relationship. So I do what I can to address that. And like I say, I inject satire, humor, absurdity, and comedy wherever I can.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, betrayal. I know you say in your book that you feel like the argument of betrayal is an excuse and that it's hogwash, and I tend to agree with that. Whenever a woman starts bitching about a guy who's done her wrong, generally it's something that she's got something to do with it as well. So why don't you expand on that for us?
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And, of course, I'm speaking to men specifically, but the argument that somebody else did it to me is the thing that I'm trying to knock out, because I believe we set up our own lives that the expectations that we set up for another person often are so unrealistic that they're impossible standards to live. And we're in this period now in our society where we blame everybody else for our issues except ourselves. Self-awareness is really lacking, especially with our modern men. And so, you know, the argument of betrayal ties into how men feel about the modern feminist movement and the advancement and elevation of women throughout society. And a lot of guys are feeling, and have been feeling, that this ascension of female power is some sort of threat and an overt betrayal on who they are and their relationships. And so in my work, I blow that whole thing up. I say, you did it to yourself, man. You betrayed yourself by not being there for her. You know, Heather, this is a really interesting point. I really believe that what we're involved in right now is a shift, a great shift in the paradigm of how we view our relationships. For centuries, it was all about man and his ego and having a woman to serve him, to be devoted to him while he had mistresses and various things on the side. That has undergone a radical change now. And it is, if anything, it's the modern aggressive independent women who are having affairs, who have flipped over the role here. And it really strikes me that all this whining and crying about being betrayed is a weak response to what's taking place. Nobody betrayed you but yourself.
Okay, so, you know, in your book you say that things have never been more at odds between men and women. Is this what you're talking about?
Yeah, really, we're at, now, man and woman, the relationship of man and woman has always been one of love versus strife. That's part of the combination. You can't have love without strife, without warring. The old Greeks said that that's how our relationships are always going to be. Well, and they have been. And here in the, oh gosh, I guess you could say the 60s and 70s when the feminist revolution took off, modern men really didn't know how to respond to this other than to say to the arguments of women, hey, you're right. We have been oppressing you. We have been tyrants. And so rather than getting in there and working with women, there have been a few men, of course, but I'm kind of talking about the general modern guy. He's been watching women ascend, and the relationship has continued to be one of strife. And now, as women rise in the workplace, that sense of inherent competition has gotten exaggerated. The modern relationship, in my view, is so polarized with competition that we just can't get along. Instead of finding middle ground to unite, we're separated in our relationships. The man does his thing over on the side. The woman does her thing. There's very little unity. And with men still struggling to respond to modern independent women embracing all of their options, their response really has been one of sitting on the sidelines and whining and complaining. Now, there have been a few guys that have been leading the change, that have seen that it is time to support women and have realized that there's nothing to lose by supporting women and by freeing women to explore the world that is now before them.
Okay. Well, you said something a second ago about men's egos.
Yeah.
And it kind of, I mean, you know, from a woman's standpoint, I like a guy with a healthy ego. Now, it kind of sounds to me in your book like you're trying to tame a man's ego. But, you know, isn't it the ego that makes men succeed, that makes them, you know, progress, that makes them, you know, be the man?
Well, of course, but we have to add the word balanced ego, and that's not where we have now. What I refer to ego, and that is the sense of it all being about me, and literally all about me, that's got to change. I think there's nothing more attractive, you know, I'm not a woman, but in my studies over the years, I've interviewed many, many women, and they've kind of said the same thing. I want a confident guy, but I want a sensitive guy, too, a guy that is aware, observing. He's not locked into his own world in a defensive posture. The problem with centuries of male ego is we've built this almost a genetic response into men that they don't observe themselves. They are very protective of their space. They're not being aware of their lives like many modern women are. So you have these guys, again, sitting on the sidelines, moping and whining and complaining, going off to the woods to drum and to bond with their buddies and all this. And I say, hey, you got to learn to bond with women. You got to learn to become devoted to women, gentlemen. So this is really, again, the essence of my book is I poke fun at the egotistical male that has demanded it all be centered on him. Going back just a bit, though, you're absolutely right. There's nothing more sexy than a confident guy, but he's got to be balanced. He's got to understand how to give, how to let go, how to embrace change. These are tough things for men to do.
Okay, so in your book, you talk about the real man. I want you to kind of give the listeners a glimpse of, you talk about I think, three different types of men in your book. The real man, objects, and good partners, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's give everybody just a little bit of summary about that.
Well, it's my contention that the modern, independent, ambitious woman is seeking relationships on a sexual and romantic level with what I call objects or winners. These celebrities, models, actors, bad boys, achievers of our society, who are few and far between, to be honest with you. These guys are not, growing on every tree. These guys do not have any issue having successful and satisfying relationships with women. That's one very small group. The rest of us are what I call, and I'm trying to develop into, the good partner. Men that are supportive, they're not thrusting their egos forward, all about me, serving me. This is really the effort of my book, is to say, gentlemen, it's time that we stop serving our egos and learn to support and become devoted to women. But now you ask the question of what is a real man? And much of my book, I'm poking fun at the things that we've set up as real men. I love to use humor and satire to do that, to make the foundation a little bit shaky underneath. But really, there's a point in my book when I am asked, what's a real man? And I just go back to what the classical definition, which has been with us forever, and that is, like we said, a man that is confident and balanced and sensitive and aware, a man that has a degree of discipline about himself, who is not a sloppy man. He attends to the details of his life. He is not thrusting his ego forward. He knows when and how to employ his needs and when and how to back off. Now, I could go on all day defining this guy, but we've had examples of him in literature, of course, and then at various points in the development of Western civilization. This guy's been there. He's been often confused with the object, if you will, of the guy that is our society's leaders. But what makes him different, a real man, in my view, is his sensitivity, his ability to change, his ability to accept criticism and not be resentful of it. That's so key.
I love it. I love that kind of man. Can you bring me one?
Yeah, well, I'm working on it myself,
All right, so let's talk for a minute. We've talked about one of the conditions of our dating society right now, and that is, that men and women are sort of at odds with one another. Another condition I want to explore is the immediate gratification that's happening out there right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, men have always had a proclivity or have been drawn to images of women. We've had pornographic paintings and sculptures not as long as we've been around, but the Internet has revolutionized the ability to access pornography and thus instant gratification immediately. And I think what this has done, while it's on, all technological changes bring about a positive and negatives. Well, the positive in this respect is that greater access to information, greater access to people we choose to make contact with. The flip side of that is that I think men have really indulged the sense of being a masturbator, of seeking things that are effortless, because masturbation is effortless. You just sit in front of an image, a movie, or a picture, and away you go. And a couple minutes later, you're relieved. Doesn't take any effort. Doesn't take any integration with anybody. You don't have to work hard at it. And I think we're seeing the fallout of now 15 years of internet pornography with what's taking place now in our men. Rather than now, of course, there are many men that are stepping into the flow of evolution and are supporting women. These guys are getting it, but the vast majority of guys are still sitting on the sidelines, not only whining, but seeking things that are effortless. And this is what the Internet, I think, the downside of the Internet has given us this sense of, if it doesn't happen right now and easily, I don't want it. Well, Heather, that relationships take real work.
Right.
You just can't plug in, pop off a text and expect to have your soulmate there. That isn't how it works. But I think many men, by default, have fallen into that type of thinking. well, I'm just going to do my thing, and if I happen to meet somebody this way, okay, but I've got enough stimulus that I can live my life here in my room in front of my computer screen, that I don't need anybody. And that's really sad.
It is, and I want to just real quick ask you another question before we take our first break, and that is, you know, I'm out there, I'm dating, I kind of feel like, and I'm sure some other women would feel the same way, that this immediate gratification need for men makes women disposable today.
Absolutely.
So can you just touch on that a minute?
Oh, this is yes, I would love to. What you're seeing there is this the sense of that grandiose ego that has to be fed, that is not aware of the existence of this other human. We're seeing what the internet has done, because it's given us these two-dimensional images, is it we have removed the humanity from that beautiful woman we're looking at. They have become objects. Now you see, you know, plastic surgery is huge. All the young girls are having their breasts augmented. They're falling into the porn star look. This is a result of the objectification of women. It's really interesting the different contrasts that are taking place right now. On one hand, women are universally stepping forward and assuming their position in society, and yet they've never been more objectified and treated as second-class citizens. At the same time, it's a weird mix, Heather.
I agree 100%. And you know, I feel like, do you think this is a reaction to the feminist movement, men objectifying women to the degree that they are now, or why do you think it's going on?
There's a number of reasons, I believe, that are taking place. We're dealing with the last vestiges of the patriarchy, if you will, the world run by men and seen through male standards and images. And like I said, we've had for centuries, and even in parts of the world today, women have less value than a cow or an oxen or a horse, right? This type of thing has been engendered in our thinking for the longest time. So we're having problems shedding that. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like we say, pornography has... That dang Hugh Hefner did us no favors whatsoever by objectifying the woman like he did. And, you know, I mean, like I say, there's good and bad to this, but I really think what's happened now is this radical the making of the woman into something she cannot be.
Okay.
And on the flip side of that is the woman's desire for a man that he can't be. I would love to explore with you the problems of perfection on both sides.
Well, we're going to talk about that when we get back from the break, as well as kind of what's the description of today's woman. We're going to talk about that woman as well when we get back. So you're listening to The Dating Revolution on Voice America. I'm Heather Jones, your host, with Milton Quibner on the phone today as a guest. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a single woman who's on the fence about marriage and children? Or are you one of those women who tries to make a relationship out of every casual encounter? If you answered yes to either of these, we've got you covered, plus a whole lot more. Go online today and pick up a copy of Heather's book, Fuck the Double Standard in Dating. You'll love all of Heather's crazy stories, and it won't be long before you're putting into practice the hundreds of tips she provides. This book will help you navigate the world of casual dating without trying to make marriage the ultimate destination. Heather shows you how to approach dating more like a man does, which means being in the moment and not taking everything too seriously. When you change your way of thinking, dating is not only fun, it builds confidence and opens doors to endless possibilities. Fuck the Double Standard in Dating is available now through Amazon.com via paperback or ebook. In fact, while listening to today's show, you can click the link on the show page to pick up your copy right now. Buy it today and become part of the dating revolution.
tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
News. Opinion. Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into the Dating Revolution. Got a question for Heather? Pick up the phone and call into the live show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. If you're just feeling too shy to call in, send Heather an email. The address is info@heatherjones.com. And now, back to the Dating Revolution.
And we're back. Thank you for tuning in. You're listening to the Dating Revolution on Voice America. I'm Heather Jones, your host. If you'd like to visit me online, feel free to go to www.heatherjones.com. Send me an email. Shoot me a message. I'd love to have you on the show if you have any questions for me. We're on the show today talking with Milt Quibner. He's the author of the book, How High Should I Jump? A Satirical Guide to Pleasing Today's Woman. We've been talking about, the differences in men and women. We've been talking about sort of the how men and women are at odds today and how that's affecting things. We've talked a lot about men and their egos and the different types of men that Milton talks about in his book, Real Men and Objects and Good Partners. And we're going to talk about women. Milton, in his book, talks about today's woman. And, you know, in the book, Milton, one of the quotes from the book says that today's woman is no more than a liberated slut, sports sexting about the planet with no concern for personal or society conventions, including love or marriage. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Well, you know, every voice in my book emanates from me, from some part of me, believe me. Every author's book is really an autobiography. So what I've done is I have freed all my experimental characters to speak in this work. One of the complaints of the men sitting on the sidelines now whining about being betrayed is that she, modern woman, ambitious, independent, voracious for experiences, is out slutting about, having sex indiscriminately, while he sits and waits for her to return. So one of the critiques, if you will, of modern woman is that she has embraced what some call sexaholism. Others would simply call it casual sex. She has embraced this with a vigor that compares to how a man might do it. In fact, Heather, this is kind of interesting. I think women are still operating under male standards and are acting in comparison to how men have always done it. I'm going to be real excited to see where women go with this, because in one real sense, they are. The women who are out there discarding men right and left, that is pretty sluttish behavior. And sluttish behavior for men and women. I'm not excluding men, but any of that behavior has its downsides. So I really see that quote in the book is one of the characters who is having a problem adjusting.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a valid quote, because I think it's a valid position, because a lot of women have just said, well, if you're not able to handle it, then too bad. This is what I want. And they're going about tasting and exploring their worlds rather indiscriminately.
I agree. No, I agree 100%. And I do feel like there is a large population of women right now that are sports sexting about the planet. Some might call me one of those. Anyway, I mean, it's because we can now.
Because we can.
It's because I can. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. And you know, that's kind of what I talk about in my book is I encourage women to, you know, get out there and experience things and not be tied down and, you know, have fun. And, you know, so, you know, I'm probably the today's woman that you talk about, but your description in the book paints her, she's kind of a bitch.
Well, I think that there is a great percentage of women who have accepted the idea that they can live a perfect life and that the men that they experience must be perfect. And I think this has created these mental conditions which makes them, this group I'm speaking of, exaggeratedly critical and unrealistic. Heather, perfection is not anything that we can experience here in reality. Perfection is in the realm of ideas and concepts, things that never change. Perfection never changes. And yet, here in reality, here in the physical world, everything changes. You simply can't have a perfect state where your standards are ever met. So women have set themselves up with this, this standard of what they're looking for that they will never get.
No, I agree. I am obsessed with perfection myself, as I'm sure are many of my friends and other people. And I am very unrealistic, and I'm very critical, but more of myself than I am of men, I think. I'm not as discriminatory against men as I am against myself, but, you know, what you talked a minute ago about women not having quite adopted their own set of standards, that they continue to try and conform to men's standards. What standards are those that you're talking about that men have that we're still trying to conform to?
Well, mostly behavioral.
Okay.
And of course, certain ethical expectations. So on the which are tied to the same thing. They're looking for a man that is, we spoke of him earlier, a man that is well-balanced, that has all of these qualities, and that is, like I say, rather unrealistic. I wanted to mention, though, that we said something earlier that is really important, and I didn't get back on it, but it's the idea that women now, while they're out exploring and experimenting sexually in the world, I don't really see that as a bad thing. And in my book, I really emphasize that men need to free themselves to allow women to make these choices. Now, this is really important because I'm not saying that every woman needs to go out and become a sports sexing slut. But if she chooses to, she must be freed to do so. And not only sexually, but in any of the areas that she decides she wants to try, because now she has been under, like we say, the male standards of how things ought to be, ethics, how we treat each other. This has come down to us from ancient Greece and ancient Rome. I'm not sure that those standards work for the modern situation, especially the modern woman who is able to juggle home, career, sex life, all of this. Before, those standards were set up to have a woman as the devoted one, as the one that served the male, and the one that accepted the male behavior. Those were the standards that came down to us. I believe that's going to change. Women, during the initial phase of the feminist revolution now, have been operating under those same standards. Those standards have been glaring down on them. I believe that as we go along, that women are going to develop new standards, new relationships, new ethics. I don't know what they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a woman, and I'm on the sidelines, too, looking at this. But I, as a student of history, I do believe we are at this phase where we're at the end of the period of men and really at the beginning of the period of women. The patriarchy is over across the planet, although it's dying a slow, painful death. And the matriarchy is returning. We've had matriarchies before. In Mycenae, for instance, in the Isle of Crete, we had a matriarchy for 2,000 years where women ruled and there was peace, hardly any warfare. technology and science were taking off, was a good time.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to get there again. I think, and I say this in my book, gentlemen, we have to free our women to explore the world of their choosing. You got to unfetter them from your standards, especially the standard of monogamy, because for 99% of us, monogamy isn't going to happen. That internet and all the options that are available to us has changed the fundamentally how we have relationships. For centuries, you married at 16 in your village with the girl you'd grown up with. You had two or three sexual partners your entire life. Now, by the time you're 21, you've had 30 or more. So this is a different period we're in, and we're struggling to figure it out. Women are not going to go back in the kitchen, though, unless they want to. Men have got to figure this out. They've got to release their women. They've mm-hmm. got to learn to support. Now, I was asked a while back, hey, what is your book really about? And I guess if I could put one word on it, it's devotion. And it's learning to become devoted to your woman, to your wife, your girlfriend, whoever it is in your life. Learning to take the glare of the spotlight off of you and onto her.
Okay. Well, I do want to expand on that a little bit, because I encourage women to date multiple men at a time, but your book kind of takes this concept to a whole new level.
Well, I'm poking fun at the whole movement.
Yes.
I mean, all of my points are exaggerated so that you can see what the issue really is. But on a quite realistic level, it's important for the survival of our species, if I can get kind of serious here, that women are freed to explore now on their terms. And it's especially important for men not to stand over them, judging them critically. Well, here you are, you've been given your chance, and look what you've done with it. Well, my God, women are just starting to taste their freedoms. Heck, men have run the show for 3,000 years. The last 40 years have seen this rise in the feminist movement. We got a long way to go, guys. Back off, quit wagging your finger over their heads and demanding this perfect behavior, which none of us are able to achieve, and learn to support them.
So let me make sure I'm clear. So are you saying it should be okay for women and men to be able to have sexual relationships outside of their marriages, outside of their relationships? They should be free sexually to do as they please without judgment?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not saying that is right or will work in every relationship, but the idea that whatever a person desires and chooses to do, especially for the woman, she must be freed to do that. Now, she may go and say, for instance, I free my wife to date other men. She may try it for a year and come back and say, you know what? I kind of like you and I. Well, that'll satisfy something within me, of course. And at the same time, I will have allowed her to explore certain things. There's nothing more cruel and tyrannical than to put these ethical chains and moralistic chains on each other. I want to see all that freed. And like I say, we're going through some real growing pains here. We have not worked out these systems yet. They're all in their budding stages of infancy. But I recommend it. I think that people should explore. If there's any of these desires that they have, they ought to free them. The opposite is to put a lid on them, and later they come out in ugly, horrible ways. If you squelch the human, they will eventually seek their freedom. And so, really, what I'm about is freeing, liberating, throwing all these chains of judgment that we've. Oh my God, we've become almost sterilized by them. And I continually poke fun at men and women who are holding fast to these judgments. And I hope I show that they're ridiculous.
Well, they are. And I mean, and I will, you know, in Milt's book, he does give a guide to how to responsibly facilitate these types of relationships. So I do want to tell the listeners that. But you know, I'm a little worried. I got to tell you that if women are allowed to go out there and just, you know, go crazy like this in their relationships, if they're married or whatnot, it's, you know, the visions in my mind are of absolute mayhem. Now, I feel like in that type of situation, and maybe I'm a little old-fashioned in that regard with, you know, marriage and you know, if you're in a relationship, I probably need to open up, you know, my mind a little more. But I feel like we're allowing women to act irresponsibly and that we're kind of letting them off the hook for bad behavior. You know, it's the same as what we've been doing with men all of these years. I'm just worried what it would eventually turn into.
Yeah, no, those are valid concerns. But, and I don't have a response for you in that respect, but what I do believe is that women need to go and bump around and make mistakes now. And they need to be freed to do that. Yeah, it could have ugly consequences in your relationship. But we've certainly seen what happens if people are squelched and if their desire to express themselves is not given rein. The divorce rate in this country is insane right now. But people marry for 2 years, and the moment there's any difficulty, boom, they're out of there. Once again, we're in that contradictory, paradoxical thing known as the modern heterosexual relationship. Things do not work in straight lines, and they do not conform to standards of perfection. I understand that if women are suddenly out screwing half the world and not attending their home life or their careers, there's going to be consequences. But let's let them experience that, determine for themselves how they want to operate after doing that. I don't want to be judging women now. We've been doing it for so long that we've got to rip that lid off. And like I say, there's going to be some growing pains. I believe that if men learn to support women in their expressions, in their desires to seek their choices, their options in life, that everything will work out because we're communicating, we're lifting the lid on things, we're becoming open, we're not hiding and running away from. We can talk about all these things. The problem is when we seek to hide them or not to recognize what's going on, or we put these labels of judgment on them. People are sick of it. We're tired of being judged. We're tired of being told what to do, especially women. So I'm really all about recognizing the problems. If you read my book, you'll see that I do point out actually what we can look forward to by with our liberated sluts, if you will. But at the same time, I say free them anyway. If that's the choice they want to make, let them make these choices. This is what humanity is about. This is the only thing we have, Heather, in our world, is to make choices. We have so little power over anything else that all we can do is to make the right choices. And, again, women have to be free to screw up, to make mistakes.
Right.
And if that means that there's going to be some emotional or relationship damage, so be it.
Well, I agree. I agree 100%. We're going to go to break here for another minute, and when we get back, we'll continue our conversation with Milt Quibner. You're listening to The Dating Revolution on Voice America. I'm your host, Heather Jones. We'll be right back.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you a single woman who's on the fence about marriage and children? Or are you one of those women who tries to make a relationship out of every casual encounter? If you answered yes to either of these, we've got you covered, plus a whole lot more. Go online today and pick up a copy of Heather's book, Fuck the Double Standard in Dating. You'll love all of Heather's crazy stories, and it won't be long before you're putting into practice the hundreds of tips she provides. This book will help you navigate the world of casual dating without trying to make marriage the ultimate destination. Heather shows you how to approach dating more like a man does, which means being in the moment and not taking everything too seriously. When you change your way of thinking, dating is not only fun, it builds confidence and opens doors to endless possibilities. Fuck the Double Standard in Dating is available now through Amazon.com via paperback or ebook. In fact, while listening to today's show, you can click the link on the show page to pick up your copy right now. Buy it today and become part of the dating revolution.
Did you ever stop to think that financial health can be a lot like physical health? The financial physician, Lou Skatygna, has helped people on the radio for nearly 15 years. And now he's part of the Voice America Variety Channel. By using medical analogies to discuss financial solutions, Lou actually makes the process easier to understand and will help you chart your own financial fitness. Tune in to The Financial Physician, live every Monday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific Time, and on demand anytime on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your questions. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into the Dating Revolution. Got a question for Heather? Pick up the phone and call into the live show at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. If you're just feeling too shy to call in, send Heather an email. The address is info@heatherjones.com. And now, back to the Dating Revolution.
On the line today with Milton Quibner. He's one of the world's leading heterosexual relationship specialists and his author of the book, How High Should I Jump? A Satirical Guide to Pleasing Today's Woman. Milt, we've been talking a lot about men, women, today's woman, how men's sort of his reaction to what's going on today with the feminist movement and stuff. Mm-hmm. But let's talk a little bit about history. And you know, one of the quotes in your book, you say that we men must take on the bulk of evolutionary efforts. What do you mean by that?
We are at a stage when the patriarchy and the male paradigm is at an end. All sorts of psychics and seers and prophets have said, December 21st, 2012 was all about that, the end of the era of men and the beginning of the era of women. Women are now out exploring their world. They're following their evolutionary development as they should be, in my view. And they're, like I say, right or wrong, they're out exploring, making mistakes, trying things, and expanding their world. Men now have to jump into the river, the current, if you will, and get up to speed, or well, the consequences don't look good at all, in my view. So really, all the changes we've been talking about in the last 45 minutes are the things that he needs to do. He needs to evolve. He's a dinosaur at present, especially our Latin men. I really have great criticisms of our Latin guys, these guys clinging to that macho, ego-based paradigm of no introspection. This is the way it is. These guys are dinosaurs, and they're on the way out. The new guy is gonna step forward and learn to support women. He's gonna evolve, and so the process of evolution not only is a physical one, but I believe that it is a mental and a spiritual one as well.
Well, let's talk about history then. In your book, you make many, many references. And so I'd kind of like to take us back to the time where there was a matriarchal society. And so why don't we talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Before the great golden age in Greece, there was the several matriarchies on the planet that had developed. Like we say, on the island of Crete in Minos, the Mycenaean civilization, they had organized a society with very little strife and warfare. They had learned, they had women at the top of all of the societal positions for centuries. And these people got along not only with themselves, but with their neighbors. They were traders. They were inventors. They were technologically brilliant for their period. It worked. And then, however, because they did not keep up a militaristic state, they became an attractive target for the roaming marauders of the north, and they could not withstand the assaults and eventually were overrun. And what came out of that was the destruction of that civilization and the loss of what held that thing together. There's no memory of except very scant recordations of what actually took place then. The matriarchy died in the Western civilization, and what took place was this powerful group of warriors, marauders, pirates, who became the Greeks and then became the Romans, if you will. They stamped out all the vestiges of female authority when the Amazonians finally were conquered. The Amazonians lived in the Black Sea, and they used to come down and they would just raise hell on the Greeks. Finally, they were wiped out, and they were wiped out so effectively that no traces of their literature or anything was left. The men were so afraid, if you will, of what that society represented, they didn't want any memories of it left.
Hmm. So, I mean, you know, the things that I've read and seen and, you know, just general knowledge of that time frame is a very open sexual
absolutely
environment.
Yeah, the women had multiple partners. They had freedom of thought. And this is what I think we're going to return to or develop again. They could embrace any number of possibilities without censure and judgment. The men accepted that a woman... Look, you know, a woman can have multiple lovers. That's not a real issue. A woman can have sex with several men in an evening, whereas a man has a much more difficult time with that. So... It was long ago, it was accepted that women, well, sure, she can screw half the kingdom if she wants. Those are her choices. That memory of that activity was wiped out, was squelched, was removed as best as possible. But like all truth, some of it remained. And it eked out, and now, through the careful work of a lot of scholars, it's reemerging in the world. That's going to help fuel this current revolution, too, that women have done this before, and they can do it again.
Okay.
Yeah. One thing I did want to state, in my book, I exaggerate and magnify a lot of the quotes of the pre-classical and classical Greeks and Romans. I go there for my information, and I always have. But what I do is I magnify, make absurd, kind of tweak these great quotes. But one of the most important quotes in that book I have not tweaked. I've left it as it is, and that is that statement that we find over the doorway of the Temple of Delphi, which says, and it's been quoted for centuries, "Know thyself." And there's a subtitle to that as well, which is "Nothing in Excess." And I'd been accused of being contradictory by using these quotes, but not at all as far as I'm concerned. This is exactly extremely important for the modern guy to realize, to become aware, to know thyself, to now embrace who you are and are not, and to do it with the idea that we are not going to become fanatic or extreme about anything. Balance is the key. So the idea that I'm trying to impart for men on a humorous level, of course, is, hey, guys, you have no idea who you are. And you are out of control, out of balance, extreme in your fanaticism. Witness today, Heather, sports addictions, how guys are addicted to sports 24/7. They can't get enough. At the cost of their relationships, do they tune in on their iPhones to the latest score, right?
Right.
Well, this is an example of what I'm talking about. They're out of balance with themselves. Of course men need competitions and adventures like that. We always have. We need challenges. We're warriors. We're fighters. We for centuries had those traditional rites of passage of, you know, going to war at age 14 and being married at 15 and raising a family at 21. You know, we don't do that anymore.
Right.
So really, that genetic need that men have, he's going to go find that thing. And for so many men, it's become this crazy sports addiction. Or let's broaden that and let's do the outdoor type activities. You see guys doing, you know, extreme surfing or hang gliding off of these cliffs. You know, they just keep pushing the envelope of these extreme activities. And, you know, my whole thing is, hey, balance this, man. You're seeking something you'll never find. You need to take a... We men need to self-assess now. Mm-hmm. We need to be able to look at who we are and are not. I criticized earlier the Latin guy for his lack of self-awareness. He is not looking at who he is and is not. He's in this defensive posture, protecting himself, protecting all he believes he owns and loves and all this, and he's doing it without looking at himself, and he's doing it in an extreme manner. The Latin guy has really fallen under my microscope lately, but there's a lot of macho, close-minded behavior that men indulge themselves in to an extreme. And so I point out that quote, those two quotes, because that is really right there at the essence of what my book is about, learning to become devoted. How can we do that? By learning who we are, by taking an honest look at ourselves, who we are, who we're not, guys, and being balanced about it, not going off racing into these extremes and fanaticisms and all this, not going to happen.
Well, tell me, Milt, do you live what you write? Are you a living example of this book?
Absolutely. I have long ago, and I continue to do, whenever it erupts in me, whenever I catch myself acting possessively or with jealousy or resentment, I catch myself and I say, nope, gotta let her go. I love my wife and her freedoms. There is nothing more beautiful than when she returns to me, having been allowed to go do what she wants to do, whatever it might be, and she brings that beautiful joy back to me. I love it. I want my woman freed. I want her out. I want her to know that I support her and that we can pick up the pieces of dang near anything that takes place, including sexuality. Now, I'm not going to go into the details of my personal relationship, but believe me, I have given the green light to my wife many years ago to explore the world of her choosing, whatever that may be. I long ago said, I'm going to be a brave guy and put up with whatever takes place, because I know this is the right thing now. And the thing I keep doing in my book, you know, I'm not a joiner. I'm not a guy that gets involved in groups. And I especially hate being told by some expert, you know, wagging his finger over me, telling you got to do this, here's the advice, all this serious-minded stuff. I take the opposite approach. I poke fun at myself. I poke fun at everybody so that I hope that it's a softer, easier medicine for them to take. The guys that are looking to change their lives and know that they've got to make movement can go to my book and get the necessary stuff. I mean, that is a manual of classical thought, if nothing else. All of the... My recommended reading list is worth the price of the book alone, because you will have a list of the classical, pre-classical, post-classical authors to study. So it's all there. I just think that... men are primed now. We don't know it. We don't have very many good examples to follow, but we've had 40 years or so of the feminist revolution. I think men are getting tired of pornography and the internet immediate gratification, and they are ready to begin becoming devoted to women. I think we are poised for that, Heather, and I'm just really excited about that. So, yes, I live this philosophy. I live it not only with my wife, but with all women. I'll tell you something I've really learned to do, and that is to pull making judgments on people. I don't know your situation. I don't know what you go through. I don't know how you got to where you're at. How dare I come in with my judgments and lay them on you? That's and on the flip side, I don't want you judging me. My world is my world. So
I love it. I appreciated it. I so enjoyed the book. I'm definitely going to recommend it to men and women alike. And, you know, I feel like we've explored some very interesting topics today, and I hope we've shed some light on some things for our listeners, and I hope you enjoyed our conversation, too.
I've had a wonderful time. I could talk to you all day, dear.
I know. No, I'm definitely going to have you on the show again.
Oh, good. I'm looking forward to it.
Your wife is a lucky woman.
Oh, thank you. I feel I'm a lucky man. If you ever got to meet her, she is an amazing human.
I'm sure she is. Sure she is. Well, thank you again, Milt. And next week, I've got one of my long-term girlfriend BFFs, Kate Good. She's going to be joining me on the show. She's the quintessential husband hunter. And as you all know, that is not me. So we're going to talk about how she and I have supported each other through the years. We're going to talk about friendship. We're going to have some really fun girl talk on the show next week. So hope you tune in and listen then, and hope everybody has a great week and weekend. And thank you again, Milt.
My pleasure. I've had a great time.
Thanks for listening. The Dating Revolution with Heather Jones can be heard live every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Variety Channel. Until next week, get out there, stay in control, and above all else, have some fun.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.